Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And today we will be coming out of, starting in Psalms 133, and we will be going into Psalms 135, verses 1 through 7. We will be also in Proverbs 29 through 20, verse 6 through verse 7, verse 8. And we will be in Ezekiel, starting in chapter 41, God permitting, to 46. And we're going to start this morning in our psalm, which is where our word comes from. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, Lord God, asking you to increase as we decrease, Father. Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. Father God, this morning I lift up a real family. I lift up the family of Irene Cass, who was an awesome senior at my age. I lift up the Cass family, Lord God, asking you to watch over them and bless them and guide them, Lord God, knowing that Irene is with you. And that's the word, Lord God. Absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. I believe that she's now composing for heaven's court. Watch over them, O God, and give them strength. And Father God, again, if the words of my mouth be preached and you increase, Lord God, I ask you, Father God, to give us strength. To give us strength to get through the word, Lord God. To give us strength to get through the day, Lord God, to give us strength to get to my destination to and from this evening as I travel to take my mom home, Lord God. I ask you to keep me awake, to keep me alert, to let me drive and do what I must do in a smooth and orderly way. I ask you to watch over all drivers today, Lord God, all traveling the highways and byways, coming to their destination to them, God, with God. With your heavenly angels, and you, Father God, with the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God with the word of God. And our title for this morning is coming out. First Psalm, it says this: whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth. Whatever pleases God is done on heaven, and what pleases God is done in earth. And we say this on a regular, but I say it again. Nothing can be done in heaven or in earth without God's permission. Remember, nothing can be done without God's permission. If God don't say that it can happen, it's not happening. Satan can't do anything unless God permits. So many times we want to give the devil credit for everything. Every little thing we go through, well, that devil is just being so busy. No. It may be that we didn't do what we needed to do, and we haven't been busy enough doing the will of God. So I can't say that the enemy is the cause of all my confusion in my life. A lot of it is because I was too busy listening to him and not to God. But again, he could only test me if God allowed. And I can tell you, there's times I didn't pass the test. It's like times you didn't. But let's get into the Word of God and see what God said about everything. Again, nothing. Nothing goes up in this world without God whatsoever. The Lord sees that gives you in heaven and in earth. King James Version. And our word coming out of the 133rd Psalm says this, and this is one of my pastor's favorite songs. She has this down pat. She's memorized. She speaks it regularly because it does something to her spirit. And it just says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God builds a house in Ezekiel. He gives a measurement of the house of God. But brethren have to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the beard running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. God did it. 134th Psalm. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord, up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion. Praise the Lord, take out your family. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above the heavenly folk. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We got to praise God this morning. And our word for this morning is coming out of the 137th Psalm. And it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant, for the Lord has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel for His special treasure. For I know that the Lord is great. Say that with me. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of His treasury. Wow, what a mighty God we serve. Proverbs 29, starting at verse 6. By transgression an evil man is snared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. That's why we don't have to worry about, he said, she said, he did this, he did that, and he's just walking away free from it. Mm-mm. Just give it to God. And watch God work. When you do wrong and hurt people, God will show you and show everybody what you did. The wicked never get away with anything. Don't think that they do. Because God will show up and show out. And it's not pleasant. You don't want to be on the receiving end, especially when you're blaspheming God. Proverbs 29:7. The righteous can see the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. folks want to talk about you when you help people. You know what? I'd rather be a doorkeeper now for my God than a dweller in the tent of the wicked. You know, when you humbly are the usher, you humbly are the doorkeeper of God's house. You know, well, I didn't get a program. Well, we didn't give out programs. Well, I didn't get a bottle of water. Well, you're not speaking. Well, all I know is the show don't do their job because I didn't give and I didn't that. They spoke to you. They guided you to your feet. They gave you a tissue if you needed it. They showed you where the restroom was and you had to go. Ushers are not servants of, what I want to say, ushers are not slaves. That's the word. They are servants. They are helpful. They are in the house of God. They are gatekeepers. And ushers are the best you can have in a church. You know, to be an usher is to bring in people. And then the praise team is to bring in Judas. For the people, we got to come and be ready to praise the Lord in everything. Because it's not about me and you. It is all about Jesus. It's all about our Father God. It is all about working in the kingdom. And our last song, Proverbs is this. Golf is set a city of flame, but wise men turn away out. If something or someone is causing nothing but confusion, I can guarantee you they are not of God, and God didn't send them. Now they all are in the snares of the enemy. If that's all they do is cause confusion. Every time you see them, there they are causing confusion. When they're walking down the street, they're causing confusion. When they call you on the phone, they're causing confusion. Every time you see them, you want to go the other way because you know when they come, they're going to cause confusion. Not a person of God. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. And again, we are in the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And we are coming out of the New King James Version. And again, I tell everybody, get this Bible if you can. Disclaimer, not paid by his doctor's family or his ministry's the Hawkins Bible, but I say get it because it is one of those nice words to meditate on. If you just need a meditation word, go to the date, whatever the date is that you're in, and you will find a word that's best for you. I guarantee it. You know, when you're having those moments where you just say, Lord, I just need a word. I need something from you. On your birthday, go to the word and just ask God, Lord, give me a word. And the word, you know, that God gave me, this is on my birthday, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I'm like, Lord, I needed that word. Praise the Lord. So, you know, fine. Get this Bible. Go to your word. Go for your day, your birthday, and watch God work in your life. But let's go to Psalms 133 and 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. If we all serve the same God who is love, then why shouldn't his love express itself in us? The unity, it really should be of one mind, live into 2 Corinthians 13:11. You know, the word that the world tells us that Sunday morning, 11 o'clock a.m., is the most segregated time dimension. Why? Because you go to your church. I go to my church. I don't go to yours because you don't come to mine because you're white, which is an absolute full of nonsense. God is not a racist. God wants us to dwell in unity. That's what he wants. Us to be able to dwell in unity, to worship him together. It's only one God. And he is our Father of all of us. We have spoken this many times. Yes, family. And family needs to come together in unity and love. Because that's what our Father wants. He doesn't want you going here, you going there, separating instead of celebrating the love of God. Think that over. And you look around and say, this makes no sense. There should be somebody in your church that does not look like you, worshiping with you, loving God with you, and thanking God with you. We got to get out of this segregation business and get into the unity business, because that's what God wants from all of us, to be unified in love of the Lord God. God is good. So whatever God says he's going to do, he's going to do. Just get rid of it. Get ready. And get rid of all your crazy thoughts, because your thoughts are micromanaged. You got to let's shake off all that foolishness that's taught in so many places. If people knew the reality of things, we wouldn't have all of this mess. But you have folks that want to hide their things. They want to hide their story. They want to hide everything instead of letting everything come out to show that we are all in this thing together called life. We all are in it together. Psalms 135, life lesson. Excuse me. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. It may be simplistic to say that God does whatever he wants to, but he does. That's our title for this morning. He does do whatever he wants to. It says he wants to, but it really isn't. The key is, what does he want to do? Come on, man. It pleases the Lord to do good, to show mercy, to be so great, and nothing can stop him. Come on, Dr. Stanley, you better speak it. And I say it one more time, our title for this morning, whatever the Lord pleases he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. And Dr. Stanley breaks it down. I'm good, thank you, Lord. It may be simplistic to say that God does whatever he wants to, but it really isn't. The key is, what does he want to do? It pleases the Lord to do good, to show mercy, to bestow grace, and nothing can stop him. Again, I love you, and there is nothing you can do about it but love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said. Jesus told us what to do, to love. He loved us, and there wasn't anything we could do about it. He gave his life for us. And there was nothing we could do about that either. It was already there. It was already predestined that he would come into this world and take our sinful selves, all our sins, to the cross. That's our Daddy God, who loves us without condition, who loves us with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. And he can do whatever he wants to do and what he wants to do. Is love us, care about us, bless us. But he also chastises us when we don't do right. So get the Bible family and go with me to Ezekiel. And I know for some, it's going to be like, this is so boring. All he's talking about is this cubit, that cubit. I'm going back to sleep. But everything that we read in the Word of God is important, including what you may think is boring, because all it's doing is giving you measurements. But it's measurements of the temple of God that will be built. And it says this. Then he brought me into the sanctuary and measured the doorpost 6 cubits wide on one side and 6 cubits wide on the other side. The width of the tabernacle, the width of the entryway was 10 cubits, and the sidewall of the entryway were 5 cubits on this side and 5 cubits on the other side. And he measured its length 40 cubits and its width 20 cubits. Also, he went inside and measured the doorpost, 2 cubits, and the entrance 6 cubits wide, and the width of the entrance 7 cubits. He measured the length 20 cubits and the width 20 cubits beyond the sanctuary. And he said to me, this is the most holy place. This is the most holy place. Next, he measured the wall of the temple 6 cubits. The width of each side cubit all around the temple was 4 cubits on every side. The side chambers were in 3 stories, one above the other, 30 chambers in each story. They rested on ledges, which were for the side chambers all around, that they might be supported, but not fastened to the wall of the temple. As one went up from story to story, the side chambers became wider all around because the supporting ledges in the wall of the temple ascended like steps. Therefore, the width of the structure increased as one went up from the lower story to the highest by the way of the middle one. I also saw an elevation all around the chamber. It was the foundation of the side chambers, a full rod, that is, cubits high. The thickest of the outer wall of the side chambers were 5 cubits. So also the remaining terrace by the place of the side chamber of the temple, and between it and the wall chambers was a width of 20 cubits all around the temple on every side. The doors of the side chambers opened on the terrace, one door toward the north and another toward the south. And the width of the terrace was 5 cubits all around. The building that faced the separating courtyard at its western end was 70 cubits wide. The wall of the building, this is huge, was 5 cubits thick all around and its length 90 cubits. So he measured the temple 100 cubits long, and the separating courtyard with the building and its walls was 100 cubits long. Also, the width of the eastern face of the temple, including the separating courtyard, was 100 cubits. He measured the length of the building behind it, facing the separating courtyard with its galleries on the one side and on the other side, 100 cubits, as well as the inner temple and the porches of the courts, the doorposts, and the double window frame, and the galleries all around the 3 stories opposite the threshold were paneled with wood from the ground to the windows. The windows were covered from the space above the door even to the inner room, as well as outside and on every wall, all around, inside and outside by measure. And it was made with cherubim and palm trees, a palm tree between cherubim and cherubim. Each cherub had 2 faces so that the face of a man was toward a palm tree, and on one side the face of a young lion, toward a palm tree on the other side. Thus it was made throughout the temple all around, from the floor to the space above the door, on the wall of the sanctuary, cherubim and palm trees were carved. The doorposts of the temples were square, as was the front of the sanctuary. Their appearance was similar. The altar was of wood 3 cubits high, and its length 2 cubits, its corners, its length, its sides were of wood. And he said to me, "This is the table that is before the Lord." The temple and the sanctuary had 2 doors. The doors had 2 panels apiece, 2 folding panels, 2 panels for 1 door and 2 panels for the other door. Cherubim and palm trees were carved on the doors of the temple just as they were carved on the walls. A wooden canopy was on the front of the vestibule outside. There were the veiled windows, frames, and palm trees on one side and on the other side of the vestibule, also on the side chambers of the temple and on the canopies. And it goes on to tell us, then he brought me out into the outer court by the way toward the north, and he brought me into the chamber which was opposite the separating courtyard and which was opposite the building toward the north, facing the length which was 100 cubits. The width was 50 cubits. Was the north door opposite the inner court of 20 cubits, and opposite the pavement of the outer court was gallery against gallery in 3 stories. In front of the chambers toward the inside was a wall 10 cubits wide at a distance of 1 cubit, and their door faced north. Now the upper chambers were shorter because the galleries took away space from them more than from the lower and middle stories of the building. But they were in 3 stories and did not have pillars like the pillars of the courts. Therefore, the upper level was shortened more than the lower and middle levels from the ground up. And a wall which was outside ran parallel to the chambers of the front of the chambers toward the outer court. Its length was 50 cubits. The length of the chamber toward the outer court was 50 cubits. Whatever that facing the temple was, that was 100 cubits. At the lower chambers was the entrance on the east side as one goes into them from the outer court. Also, there were chambers in the thickness of the wall of the court toward the east, opposite separating court north and opposite the building. There was a walk in front of them also, and their appearance was like the chambers which were toward the north. They were as long as and as wide as the other. In all their exits and entrance were according to plan and corresponding to the doors of the chambers that were facing south as one entered them. There was entrance or the door in front of the wall, the way directly in front of the wall toward the east. Then he said to me, the north chamber and the south chambers, which are opposite the separating courtyards, are the holy chambers, where the priests who approach the Lord shall eat the most holy offerings. There they shall lay the most holy offerings, the grain offerings, the sin offerings, and the trespass offerings. For the place is holy. When the priests enter them, they shall not go out of the holy chamber into the outer courts, but there they shall leave their garments in which they minister, for they are holy. They shall put on other garments. Then they may approach that which is for the people. Now when he had finished measuring the inner temple, he brought me out through the gateway that faces toward the east and measured it all around. He measured the east side with the measuring rod, 500 rods from the measuring rod all around. He measured the north side, 500 rods by the measuring rod all around. He measured the south side, 500 rods by the measuring rod. he came around to the west side and measured 500 rods by the measuring rod. He measured it on the far side. It had a wall all around 500 cubits long and 500 wide to separate the holy areas from the common. Everything done the way God wanted it done. And he gave measurements so everybody knew this is how it is supposed to be done. And as we continue in chapter 43 of Ezekiel, if you are just joining us, we have read our psalm, our proverb, and now we are in, this is Old Testament Sunday, and we are in the book of Ezekiel, and God is building a temple and showing Ezekiel all the measurements. So when the time comes for this temple to be built, it is done decent and in order. And it says that afterwards he brought me to the gate that faces towards the east, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and the voice was like the sound of many waters, earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the visions which I saw by the river Kabar. And I fell on my face, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple while a man stood beside me. And he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name. They nor their kings by their harlotry, or with the carcasses of their kings on the high places. When they set their threshold by my threshold, and their doorposts by my doorposts, with a wall between them and me, they defile my holy name by the abominations which they committed. Therefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put the harlotry and the carcasses of the kings far away from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquity, and let them measure the pattern. And if they are ashamed of all that they have made known to them in the design of the temple and its arrangement, its exits and its entrance, its entire design and all its ordinance, all its forms and all its laws, write it down in their sight so that they may keep it whole, keep its whole design and all its ordinance and perform them. This is the law of the temple, the whole area surrounding the mountaintop of Most Holy. Is Most Holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. These are the measurements of the altar in cubits. The cubit is one cubit and a hand breadth. The base, one cubit high and one cubit wide, with a rim all around, is deep of one span. This is the height of the altar. From the base on the ground to the lower level, two cubits. The width of the ledge, one cubit. From the smaller ledge to the larger ledge, cubits. The altar heart is four cubits high, and four horns extended outward from the heart. The altar heart is 12 cubits long, 12 wide measured. At its four corners, a ledge 14 cubits long and 14 wide on its four sides, with a rim of half a cubit around it. Its base one cubit all around, and its steps face toward the east. And he said to me, Son of man, thus says the Lord God, these are the ordinances for the altar on the day when it is made for sacrifice and burnt offerings on it. and for sprinkling blood on it. You shall give a young bull for a sin offering to the priests, the Levites who are of faith. Be the Zadok who approach me, minister to me, and say, there's the Lord God. You shall take some of his blood and put it on the four horns of the altar, on the four corners of the lid, and on the rim around it. Thus you shall cleanse it and make atonement for it. Then you shall also take the bull of the sin offering and burn it in the appointed place of the temple outside the sanctuary. On the second day you shall offer a kid of the goat without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they cleanse it with the bull. When you have finished cleansing it, you shall offer a young bull without blemish and a ram from the flock without blemish. When you offer them before the Lord, the priest shall throw salt on them, and they will offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. Every day for 7 days you shall pray prayer, a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bull and a ram from the flock, both without blemish. 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it and so consecrate it. When these days are over, it shall be on the 8th day, and therefore that the priest shall offer your burnt offerings and your peace offerings on the altar, and I will accept you, says the Lord God. Chapter 44, he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces toward the east, but it was shut, and the Lord said to me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut. As for the prince, because he is the prince, he may sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway and go out the same way. Also, he brought me by the way of the north gate to the front of the temple. So I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face, and the Lord said to me, son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all its laws. Mark well who may enter the house and all go out from the sanctuary. Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, let us have no more of all your abominations. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to defile my house, and when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, then they broke my covenant because of all your abominations. And you have not kept charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart, or uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. And the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall lay the burnt offerings and the sacrifice of the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them, because they ministered to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord God, that they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near me to minister to me, as priests not come near any of my holy things, nor enter the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I will make them to charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has to be done in it. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall be, whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, that they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat when they go out to the outer court, to the outer court of the people. They shall take off their garments in which they are ministered, leave them in the holy chamber, and put on other garments, and in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. They shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. They shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows of peace. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgment. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. They shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person, only for father or mother, for son or daughter, for brother or unmarried sister, may they defile themselves. After he is cleansed, they shall court. They shall count 7 days for him. And on the day that he goes to the sanctuary to minister in the sanctuary, he must offer his sin offering in the inner court, says the Lord God. It shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs, the best of all first fruits of any kind, and every sacrifice of any kind from all their sacrifices shall be the priest. Also you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat anything, bird or beast that died naturally or was torn by wild beasts. All right now. And a life lesson from chapter 43 of Ezekiel was this. The glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. Even today, the whole earth shines from the glory of God's creative genius. But one day it will shine with the glory of his redemptive and saintly genius. When the Savior rules in fullness, complete joy will finally arrive. Ooh. Complete joy will finally arrive in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Ezekiel chapter 45, and it says this, moreover, when you divide the land by lot into inheritance, you shall set apart a district for the Lord, a holy section of the land. Its length shall be 25,000 cubits, and the width 10,000. It shall be always without its territory all around it. This there shall be a square plot for the sanctuary, 500 by 500 rods, with 50 cubits around it. for an open space. So this is a distribution measure, 25,000 cubits long and 25,000 cubits wide. And it shall be the sanctuary, the most holy place. It shall be a holy section of the land belonging to the priests and ministers of the sanctuary who come near to minister to the Lord. It shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for the sanctuary. An area 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 wide shall belong to the Levites, the ministers of the temple. They shall have 20 chambers as a possession. You shall appoint property of the city an area 5,000 cubits wide and 25,000 long adjacent to the district of the holy section. It shall belong to the whole house of Israel. The prince shall have a section on one side and the other of the holy district and the city property, and bordering on the holy district and the city property, extending westward on the west side and eastward on the east side. The link shall be side by side with one of the tribal portions from the west border to the east border. The land shall be his possession in Israel, and my prince shall no more oppress my people, but they shall give the rest of the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. Thus says the Lord God, enough, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and plunder, execute justice and righteousness, and stop dispossessing my people, says the Lord God. You shall have honest scale, an honest ephah, and an honest bath. The ephah and the bath shall be of the same measure, so that the bath contains one-tenth of an omer, and ephah one-tenth of an omer. Their measure shall be according to the omer. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 25 shekels, and 15 shekels shall be your mina. This is the offering which you shall offer, for you shall give one-sixth of an ephah from an omer of wheat, and one-sixth of an ephah of an omer of barley. The ordinance concerning oil, the bath of oil, is one-tenth of a bath from a cor. A cor is an onyx, or 10 baths, the 10 baths of an omer. And one lamb shall be given from a flock of 200 from the rich pastures of Israel. There shall be for grain offerings, burnt offerings, and peace offerings, to make atonement for them, says the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give his offering, for the prince is the prince in Israel. Then it shall be that the prince parts to give burnt offerings, grain offerings, and drink offerings of the feast, the new moon and the Sabbath, and all appointed seasons of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering, the grain offering, and the burnt offering, and the peace offering, to make atonement for the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, in the first month, on the first day of the month, you shall take a young bull without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering and put it on the doorpost of the temple, on the four corners of the legs of the altar, and on the gatepost of the gate of the inner court. And so you shall do on the seventh day of the month for everyone who has sinned unintentionally or in ignorance. Thus you shall make atonement for the temple. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover, a feast of 7 days. 11 bread shall be eaten, and on that day the prince shall prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bull for sin offering. On the 7 days he shall prepare a burnt offering to the Lord, 7 bulls and 7 rams without blemish, daily for 7 days, and a kid of the goat daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare a grain offering of 1 ephah for each bull and 1 ephah for each ram, together with a hin of oil for each Eva in the seventh month on the 15th day of the month. At the feast, he shall do likewise for 7 days according to the sin offering and the burnt offering and the grain offering and the oil. Chapter 46. Thus says the Lord God, the gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open, and on the day of the new moon it shall be open. The prince shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway from the outside and stand by the gatepost. The priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering. He shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go out, but the gate shall not be shut until evening. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the entrance to the gateway before the Lord on the Sabbath and the new moon. The burnt offering that the prince offers to the Lord on the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish, and the grain offering shall be 1 ephah for a ram, and the grain offering for the lamb as much as he wants to give, as well as a hin of oil from every ephah. On the day of the new moon, it shall be a young bull without blemish, 6 lambs and a ram. They shall be without blemish. She shall prepare a grain offering of an ephah for a bull, an ephah for a ram, much as he wants to give from the lamb, and a hin of oil with every ephah. When the prince enters, he shall go in by way of the vestibule of the gateway and go out the same way. But when the people of the land come before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the north of the south gate. And whoever enters by the way of the south gate shall go out by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate through which he came, but shall go out through the opposite gate. The prince shall then be in their midst. When they go in, he shall go in. And when they go out, he shall go out. At the festival and the appointed feast, that is, the grain offering shall be an ephah for a bull and an ephah for a ram. But if he wants to give for the lamb, and a hin of oil with every ephah. Now when the prince makes a voluntary burnt offering, a voluntary peace offering to the Lord, the gate that faces toward the east shall then be opened for him, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering, as he did on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go out, and after he goes out, the gate shall be shut. You shall daily make a burnt offering to the Lord of the lamb of the first year without blemish. You shall prepare it every morning, and you shall prepare a grain offering with it every morning, a 6th of an ephah and a 3rd of a hin of oil to moisten the fine flour. But this grain offering is a perpetual ordinance to be made regularly to the Lord. Thus they shall prepare the lamb, the grain offering, and the oil as a regular burnt offering every morning. Thus says the Lord God, if the prince goes gives a gift of some of his inheritance to any of his sons, it shall belong to his sons. It is their possession by inheritance. But if he gives a gift of some of his inheritance to one of his servants, it shall be his until the year of liberty, after which it shall return to the prince. But his inheritance shall belong to his sons. It shall become theirs. Moreover, the prince shall not take any of the people's inheritance by evicting them from their property. He shall provide an inheritance for his sons from his own property, so that none of his people may be scattered from his property. Now he brought me through the entrance which was at the side of the gate into the holy chambers of the priest, which for the north, and there a place was situated at the extreme western end. And he said to me, this is the place where the priest shall boil the trespass offering and the sin offering, and where they shall bake the grain offering, so that they do not bring them out into the outer court of the to sanctify the people. Then he brought me out into the outer court and caused me to pass by the four corners of the court. And in fact, in every court of the court, there was another court. And the four corners of the court were enclosed courts, 40 cubits long and 30 wide. All four corners were the same size. There was a row of building stones all around in them, all around the four of them, and cooking bars were made under the rows of stones all around. And he said to me, these are the kitchens where the ministers of the temple shall boil the sacrifices of the people. And that is our word for today. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, to the reader of this word, in Jesus' name. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for this morning from our sister in Christ is this. And our word is actually coming from Friday as well as today. And we're going to go all the way. And it says, what is important, impossible with man is possible. Have a faith-filled Friday. And on yesterday, be grateful for today and never take anything for granted. Life is a blessing. Come on now. And for today, our word is Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Isaiah 26:3. And I say, have a blessed Sunday, family. And before we get out, again, a prayer from our prayer book this morning. And when we go to our prayer book, it's a daily prayer book, 365. And the word, it just always touches my heart because it's something I need to hear. You know, and I love what we read on Friday. You know, creating me a clean heart, oh God, for the right, new and right spirit within me. And our word for this morning is this. Miracle enough. Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? You know, and we read that also on Friday. And it asked the question, what fuels your belief in God? And our word for this morning is this. A way home. All things of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18, New King James. And it says, restore, meaning our God. You have done the hard work of redemption in you all things. Were created, and in you all things find their healing. God of grace, you did not leave us to wander this earth without hope. Through Jesus, we have been reunited with you. The veil in the holy temple that separated from your tangible presence was torn when Jesus breathed his last breath. When he broke loose from the grave 3 days later, even death was defeated, not leaving anything in this life or the next to keep us from being with you. Thank you, Lord, that I have been reconciled with you, able to boldly come before you, a throne of grace, anytime I come to you confidently today. With every care I carry, I will not take the beauty of this relationship. You are incredible, and I thank you. Do you confidently believe that you can go to God with anything at any time? And I say, yes, I can go to God with anything at any time, because whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth. And we know he did it in the sea, and he did it on the land. We are grateful today that God loved us whatsoever, that he did it. Did all he did for you and for me. He gave his son. And I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Find the Bible, believe in Bible, teach in church. And if they don't open the word of God, walk out, because it's not for you. Have a blessed day, family. And keep me in prayer as I travel today. to take my mom home. I thank God for my mother, and I thank God for each and every one of you. Have a great and blessed day, and know that God is in charge of everything. Think of that. And again, I pray, I'm sorry, if I do not pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, learn from each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, man. Think of that.